Couple announcements here. Deacons meeting on May 28th, and the Lord's Supper is on June 25th. Also, I wanted to mention to you that Rick Henderson will be teaching next Wednesday. I thought I told you that earlier, but I don't think I did. He's the gentleman that founded the prison ministry of Texas that Dave is a part of, and some other guys I know in there, and it's a good group of guys, and he's going to come and tell you, I guess, a little bit about the ministry and also give you a lesson on the Word of God. So that'll be Wednesday, and I'll be here as well, so we'll all get to enjoy that, and we'll go from there. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. He was actually supposed to come this last Wednesday to check his equipment, but didn't work out, so... But we're going to get it done, and he'll be here. So anyways, let's see, what else did I have? I think that was it. We'll go ahead and, before we get going, God always is gracious to give us time to acknowledge our sins before Him. And thank goodness, because, you know, throughout the day we always need that fresh, clean, new start. And I feel like that's it in confession. And God gives us that ability to do. Remember, you're an individual priest, and that's a lot of power that has been instilled and given to the church age believer. So we take advantage of that by going directly to God in confession of sin and acknowledging those sins before Him. So that's a private issue. Let's take a minute, and we will do that in silence, and then I'll pray, and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are just grateful to be here, thankful for the continuation of Your unending plan. And it's amazing that we can be in something that is eternal, that lasts forever. And we're just so grateful to be a part of something that's to our benefit 110%. We thank You for the greatness. Thank You for the love that You always give us. And we just ask today that we can concentrate in a way that is meaningful, to where we can remember it and to apply it to our lives. So we thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are to God's rulership, number one and number two. And before we get to that, I've been, you know, I know you've been seeing a lot on the news lately. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, God gives us options. He gives us options. And that's what's beautiful about this life. And the more I see, the more I feel like we have a part to play in what's happening around the country, at least. I know it's a world thing as well, but I think we're seeing it here where we live. And there's various companies that have completely sold their souls to Satan, and I take that very seriously. I don't know about you, but if you're going to give your money to support something that puts some kind of transgender section in the kids department or those kinds of things, that's something that needs to stop. And I don't support those companies, and this church doesn't support those companies. And I'm just putting my foot down personally, and you can do what you want, but I'm just giving you some advice. It's not godly or Christian to give your money to corporations that do those kinds of things. I mean, you've heard a few of them. There's Adidas. There's Target is stepping up to the forefront. North Face. Who's these other ones that are out here doing this kind of stuff? Bud Light. I mean, if you're still drinking Bud Light, you got issues, in my personal opinion. I mean, that's a, you know, a problem. There's so many alcoholic beverages out there. Switch. I mean, and if you want to take it seriously, go to Anheuser-Busch. They're the real problem. They're the ones holding the cards, in my opinion. So there's just a lot of this going on, and we're the ones that need to take a pro stance in that position, because what leads them by the nose is money. And what keeps them going is money. So I just don't want to be a part of it. So anyways, I just had a little spiel and to do, and that's been on my mind, and I know it's been on y'all's mind, but we've got a lot to think about, and I know you do too, but we can at least take small steps in the right direction to do what's right, at least in our own little bitty church here and in your own families at home. So as far as we do have Memorial Day tomorrow, and I know you know that's to remember not necessarily the death of those individuals, but that God provided people that would step up to the forefront and support and defend our country in a way that remained the way it is. It's the reason we have freedom today, and it's the reason we're here. We have individuals that are in the military in our own congregation. Specifically, I'm thinking of Jason. We have people that have supported in this congregation. And I know you all have families that have died at some point in the military in support of our freedom. So thank God that, you know, we have the building, we have the platform, we have the word, we have truth. And that is still going to be here while we still have freedom to teach it. And we know that freedom will never go away internally. It may go away externally, right? But that's okay, because God says that he will never take it away from inside of us. And that's all that matters. So anyways, here we are to God's rulership, number one and number two. And I think I introduced a little bit of this last time. I think we may have read a verse. This is a topic that you've actually studied partially before, when we studied God's sovereignty. Same type of subject, right? It's a little bit different presentation here, but the concepts are really the same, that God's in charge. And, you know, there's so many little nuances of that where we can apply that to our lives. We just think of always God's in charge, okay, he's got it. And that is true. Right, but you can really lose sight of that if we don't pay attention to what God is trying to do to us and for us in our lives. So let me just read the doctrinal statement. It says, we believe that God, existing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is sovereign and exercises supreme and absolute control or absolute rule over all creation as a part of and consistent with the essence and attributes of his deity. And there's your scripture references. And I just want to point out that, yes, God has supreme rule over all creation. But don't leave out this second part here, because it must be consistent with the essence of his deity. And, you know, we think about someone ruling, like, let's say, a CEO. You know, he usually gets all the negative feedback for anything that bad that's happening in a company. The difference between God and a CEO is that God cannot sin. He is perfect, and his rule is perfect. And I brought that out a little bit last class, but I just wanted you to remember that, because when we think about someone in control, we have a tendency to put all the bad things that are happening under that control as part as his responsibility. But the reality is, we know that God has given us individual responsibility, individual volition. And if he turned us into robots and he said, you're not going to sin, guess what that would do to his essence? It would go against his essence. So he must allow us to make free decisions that are either for or against his plan. At the same time, he's still in control. Right, we could all say, as Grace Bible Church, we're going to go against his plan. Well, guess what? It doesn't change the fact that he has absolute rule over each one of our lives as people. Just because we've not chosen to be a part of that rule, or to recognize, that's a good way to say it, to respond to that rule, and we'll see that's really an analogy to authority. If we haven't chosen to respond to that authority, well, that doesn't affect God. It does affect us tremendously, right? We know that. We've seen that in our personal day-to-day lives, not to mention, you know, an extended period of time in our lives. So we can see that for sure. But here's the consistency that, you know, the sovereignty of God, his rulership must be equally consistent with. And we went through these. Remember, we studied all of them: righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. So when we think of God's in charge, hold on before you cast blame on him, because there's every one of these backing up whatever decisions that he's either directly making or allowing to happen on behalf of whatever responsibility that person has as a believer or an unbeliever, right? These things don't just not apply for the unbeliever. They fit completely up under the sovereignty of God. They just may not accept it, but it doesn't change the fact that they do fall under that rule, that authority that God has placed. You see a lot of that today. So, and I mentioned the other day that just because God is in charge, that doesn't mean he's responsible for sin. I think that's the way I put it. And that is a fact, because, you know, there's a lot of people that try to understand how those two things work together. How does the free will volition of man and God's rule work together? Well, guess what? God doesn't say that we can fully understand that. He doesn't say that we need to fully understand that. And the problem is, when we start to bring that down to a human understanding, we end up with something that, you know, something like some form of Calvinism or something. Limited atonement is a form of taking, of not understanding the sovereignty of God and the free will of man and saying, okay, I'll push that aside and I'll say it's limited atonement. Now God is choosing and your volition goes out the door. Well, that's not how it works. We cannot take out volition out of the category, because that is a very important role of this. Remember, your decisions do choose your destiny. That still applies. But it doesn't mean at all that God, for some reason, is not in charge of that destiny. So remember that there is an umbrella over your umbrella, right? There's an in charge over our the way we think we're going to go or will be. So sin and evil are not included as far as God's essence. He cannot sin. He didn't sponsor sin. He didn't invent sin. But he knows about sin. And he knew about it long before it happened. And therefore, he has included it in his overall plan as far as how to deal with it. And we know how he did it. He did it perfectly, right? He died for it with not a sinful person, because that would have impugned his essence. He's perfect. He couldn't have had a sinful man go and die on the cross. He had to have a perfect person die on the cross. And that's how he was able to maintain his consistency as a perfect God and man in one. So amazing how he can do that. And we can all be a part of that plan as sinful people. And yet he is still perfect, and he maintains his sovereign rule because of Jesus Christ. See how Jesus Christ is the central focus of how sin and perfection come together. It's because of Jesus Christ, the only reason these things that shouldn't come together can work together, because they've been paid for. They've been sacrificed. And God sees that sacrifice on the cross, and that satisfies his justice. He said, that's good enough for me. That is sufficient. And now everyone who accepts that payment or that sacrifice on their behalf, guess what? They're included into that perfect plan that God has, even though they're sinners. So, yes, it's mind-boggling. We can't always understand the details, but at the same time, we don't need to lower it and say, okay, God chooses certain people that are saved and he doesn't others. That's not how it works, right? So Romans 5 is very, very clear that sin entered the world through Adam. He's clear about that. The word is clear, right? Not through God. God didn't invent it. It came through Adam. That's what it says. And then through sin, we see what? Through sin came death. So before sin, death didn't even exist. Death wasn't even a part of this life. We see people dying. We see animals dying. We see all these things dying. Death wasn't here. Sin is what brought in death. Well, God turned that into a blessing as well, didn't he? Because now when we die, we go to be with him for eternity. But at the same time, you get the idea that God turned a bad thing into a good thing. or a cursing into a blessing, right? But we went from no physical death, no spiritual death, and we added both of those to our to who we are in this life. Now we have physical. Now we're born in spiritual death. So those things are a part of us. But the reality is, those are based on decisions that Adam and Eve made. Those aren't based on decisions that God said, okay, this is my plan and this is how I want to see it go. No. God never desires sin, but He works with it. He works with it. Doesn't desire it, doesn't like it, doesn't want it. But our free will chose to choose sin and reject God's perfect plan. I know, weird. That's what people are capable of doing. So, and we're people. So that's some of the reason why we can't blame God for the world's problems, including death. Including death. You know, we hear so often that people that are turned off completely by the spiritual life altogether because God took their mother, He took their father, He took them too early, He took my baby, He took this, He took that. Guess what? Sin is what brought death into this world. And therefore, we can't look to perfection when we look to blame something on death. It has to be something that's imperfect, and that imperfection is from mankind. So just be careful, because there's a lot of confused people about what we're blaming and pointing the finger on when it comes to destruction, when it comes to evil, when it comes to people that are suppressed because of their own bad decisions. But, you know, we need to start to realize that we do have a part there, too, to help them explain that there's an imperfect and a perfect. And we're the only ones that brought into the equation the imperfection here. So, and yes, God is still in charge. That's the whole point of this, right? So, and I think many of the reasons why people blame God for things is because they're out of tune with their spiritual life. They're out of tune with their spiritual life. Hey, we're believers. We get into the thing, God, how could you, right? I can't believe you could do this to me. How could you let this go on for so long in my life? We may not do it to an extreme, but we still do it sometimes. Hopefully, right? Maybe not, but you get the idea. We're human. So if you don't have any other ways to go, you eventually go back to God. God, this is your deal. You're allowing this to happen. You're the one that's in charge here. But at the end of the day, He's not responsible for sin, and He's not responsible for evil. So we've got to correlate those two things in our own minds, because God has something that's called faith and trusting and walking with Him and in Him that we have been given with sin, with sin. So if we're going to be blaming God for not living the spiritual life, it is a clear indicator that we have no idea what the Word of God says, because the Word of God is clear. It tells us all about these things. If we're going to blame God, we should at least desire to know the facts behind our thinking. We can't just cast blame on someone and say, I don't care what that Bible says. Well, that's where all your answers are. The reality is that you're denying and excluding the answers of which is an excuse to live in a way that they want to live, basically, right? So all I'm saying is that, yes, God is in control. But He gives you options. He gives you options to make, to choose, to decide on which way you want to go in this life. So we can either choose to receive Him, or we can choose to reject Him. There's really only two ways to go with that. So, and most people that do that, that choose to reject God, the reality is that it's an internal issue, right? It's a spiritual issue. So, to ignore God means ignorance of God's Word, which means there's no information to understand the most important concepts of life, like getting to know yourself, getting to know yourself, who you are, what makes you up, why do you make the decisions you make? The Bible tells us all those things. You're not caught off guard when you realize that you're a sinner. Because you've learned it, you've seen it, God tells us about it, and He tells us that we're not going to make right decisions all the time. It tells you about the things in this life that aren't explained anyplace else. How to deal with people, how to deal with relationships, how to deal with things that come on in your life that are not a counselor can help you with, maybe temporarily. This is spiritual problems God gives us spiritual solutions to, which is part of His grace, right? So we can't ignore God because these are critical concepts, and we need to have a clue on this. And that's why you're here. I think that's part of our personal responsibility as believers, is getting to know how to live on this earth. So there's so much God gives us information on. He gives us information about sin. He gives us information about why we sin. He gives us information about what to do with sin, how to correct sin, what's the solution to sin, what's the ultimate solution, Jesus Christ. He continually guides us down the path and shows us all these various aspects of how to be successful in life. And I'm not talking about necessarily living on, you know, overlooking a cliff in a mansion or in your yacht, or you get the idea. Some of you want to be in a submarine. I get it. But come up in your periscope to look and go back down. But the idea is that God wants you to be successful in the spiritual life. He wants you to be successful spiritually, which means you don't need to be successful as far as the world is concerned. If you're successful as far as God is concerned, guess what? You're not concerned about anything else. Because if you're happy and content, you're not concerned about anything else. And that's the idea. That's what we just studied about the grace of God. I hope you still have that in the back of your mind, because I think that applies to every single lesson that we cover. The grace of God is definitely in these lessons, no doubt about it, every one of them. So God gives us so much. He tells us about the results of sin, doesn't He? He tells us about what happens when we sin. And He even tells us that if we sin without it being checked, or if we ignore sin, He tells us about what happens with that too, right? The sin unto death. Remember, sin brings death no matter what. And we can speed that process along if we choose to sin more without going to the solution of sin. We're given a certain length of time on this earth, and sin is destructive physically to you as a person in your body. So if we choose to sin more without that confession and that cleansing of all unrighteousness, we choose to shorten our time on this earth. And that's, you know, that's a big deal. But we know that also God uses evil for His benefit. So for the unbeliever that is in God, under God's sovereign rule, you know, God has purposes that we're not always aware of. So don't be surprised if you see someone that's over 100 years old and they're an unbeliever, because God is using them in ways that we have no idea. And as we'll see today, that we'll see that God is in control even when those people are evil, they reject Him, and even those that want that, you know, that one world government type of stuff, God's using them. He's using them. Using them like a, I don't know what. Playing them like a fiddle. But He is. And so when you look at them and you see them, you see the so-called power and the so-called financial backing behind that, guess what? That means absolutely nothing in the plan of God. Absolutely nothing. God is sovereign. He's in control. That means that money is not an object to God, and it doesn't affect how He does business as far as His control. As a matter of fact, God is the one who has allowed that person to get where they want to be in life. Why? Because they wanted to go that direction. And God is a gentleman. He's going to allow us to do what we want to do and be as evil as we want to be. Does He desire that? No. But He gives us an option. That's what I want you to be aware of, because when we go through this study, we cannot exclude your free will. We can't do it. Because none of this makes sense if we exclude the free will of man, because it's not God's fault. It's never God's fault. God also tells us many things about death in the Bible. He tells us there's a specific time for it. He tells us how sin relates to it. He also shows us that none of us are without sin. He shows us that. No person, no human being on this earth is without sin. That's a big one. A lot of people assume that there is no sin. He also shows us a big one, that we're responsible for our sins. We. Not your husband, not your wife, not your best friend. We. Personally. This is a personal issue. This is a personal thing. So, you know, we have to know these things in order to start to build on the foundation that God has given us. If you don't know the very basics of your makeup as a person that is sinful, you can't build on the foundation because you have no humility to build with. If you don't recognize your sinfulness and your flawed nature from the get-go, how are you going to build on something? You can't do it. It's an impossibility. There's nothing to build on, at least in our minds, right? So if you don't know you're flawed, then the only result of that is you're always right in your own eyes. Being flawed is actually a good thing because it allows us to correct what we are insufficient at. It allows us to recognize things that we can't otherwise do without God. So there's definitely huge benefits of knowing yourself, knowing that you're not meant to design to do it on your own. You're not designed to live in this life on your own and just say, I'm going to just get after it and go do this, this, and this as an individual without God. You're not designed to do that. God made us to be dependent on Him. Well, we see the original results of that when we said, okay, I'm good with God, at least for a little bit. We sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. When they got away from God and they rejected that, we sinned. So you see how far from God we can get without getting in trouble. Not very. Actually, not at all. Right? So we need to learn about these things, about this information. But the result is many people minimize or ignore the real problems within themselves when we don't learn these things. And see, when we do that, what do? When we minimize the problems here, we start to point the finger of where the problem comes from. It's their fault. It's his fault. It's the president's fault. Well, that may be true. I'm shocked. It's God's fault. Right? But see, it's never my fault. And that's what a lot of what we see today is, we need to look into self. Look into self if we're going to see the problem of this world. Every single problem, social, political, it doesn't matter. Every single problem in this world is because of human beings, not because of God. But God works with that, and He's gracious. He is gracious. And don't forget, you know, you see things like love. Love doesn't go away just because we see all these bad things happening, all these evil things. Where's the love of God? It's here. It's with us on a daily basis, along with His justice. Well, how do those go together? They do. They do very well. So God hasn't lost His justice, as we see around us. But I do believe that we're seeing the results of God allowing people to reject Him and go in opposite direction from Him. I think we're just now seeing the results of that from past generations, right? And all I can say is, we don't know how many, you know, what's the numbers on that? We don't know. Is it half and half? Is it three-fourths to a fourth? We don't know. But we do know that evil has penetrated in the higher ranks of our society. We do know that. And guess what? That takes some time. That takes a lot of time to get to those positions. That doesn't just happen overnight. So obviously there's going to be, if they've had time to get to the top, guess what's going to be under them? A lot more of them. So here we are as believers in Jesus Christ. That's why we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Because they're not in control, even though they're in human physical control, or they think they are, right? So that's why we need to learn these things about self, because God is in control, but at the same time, He allows us to assume that we're in control. And I just explained to you many things when we reject the truths that are in the Bible, all that is forms of self-righteousness, right? And you can understand why self-righteousness or arrogance or pride would come into the study of the sovereignty of God. Because it's the only thing that we hinder ourselves from submitting to God's authority. That's the sin that allows us to run the opposite direction from God. It allows us to assume that we're in control and that God is not in control. Self-righteousness and pride are those two sins that do that. Subjectivity is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be, submissiveness is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be submissive. And we can't do that wearing our rainbow-colored shirt and marching on the TV and putting on a show. That's not a form of submissiveness. It's a form of pride, arrogance, self-righteousness. Why? Because they're right. What they say is right. Their rules are right. Well, wait a minute. Is there a God? Does he have rules? Is he right? Yes, he is. But see, the reality is that arrogance can get us so far removed from under God's so-called plan for their life that they have no idea what they're talking about. And all of a sudden, now they've gone so far off the deep end, not only do they not know what they're talking about, they've instantly turned from a man to a woman. Wow. Can you imagine that? When you're so far removed from truth and you're living on a lie, you lie to yourself and you can become a completely different gender. That's how far removed from the truth they are. So you see how far this goes. Well, we talked about this verse, but it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is just one of those verses that God gives us that it is very clear that all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. Those people on TV have sinned just like you've sinned. Everybody starts off equally, right? We've all have a sin nature. We're all spiritually dead. But there's options, right? But there's not any excuse for knowing your position. There's not any excuse for knowing your position. God gives us enough time, enough information. And technically, you don't need the Bible to figure that out. God gives us information through the world to allow you to come to a conclusion about God. Is there a God? Is there something greater than me? And am I flawed? I think God gives us enough information to figure those things out. We don't even need the Bible to see that, although it's here if you choose to go that direction. But, you know, sometimes you just need to just look around, look at people. Well, is that right? Is that perfect? No, it's not perfect, right? Specifically, I'm thinking of just death. That's not perfect. So brings it back down to home really quickly. So there's no excuse for not knowing God's ways are righteous. If we can know about ourselves, it points us to a person who is perfect. It points us to a designer. It points us to a planner, a ruler, right? All these things are kind of coming together, those words. So I don't think that if there's no excuse for seeing your fallen nature as an individual, there's obviously no excuse to coming to the conclusion that there's a Savior. Jesus Christ, who has saved us from this sin and death. There is none at all. And there's plenty of verses about that too. If you can't get that from the world or you don't get it from the world, there's plenty here in the Scripture that gives us that information as well. And we have to understand that God's intent towards every person is never malicious, it's never wrong, and it's never falsely motivated in any way. We'll say, wait a minute, I know someone who had a horrible, rough life. They were given this card and that card, and they were not good cards to have. They didn't have a good hand in life. I can say it again, God's motivation is always perfect. And another thing about it, God's motivation is always to your benefit as an individual. No matter what you go through, no matter what you see on this earth, God's motivation for either directly intervening or allowing whatever is happening in those people's lives is to their benefit. Now, I can't say the details of why that's to their benefit, But more than likely, it's to show them that death is knocking on their door and there's a better direction to go in life. There's a better direction. And many times, that's the only way you can show people. Through death, through destruction, through pain, through suffering, through war. That's really the only way we wake up. Because when we get on that path of destruction and self-righteousness, there is no way to wake a person up besides pain and someone very close, up and personal, or personally being associated with death. That's it. Pain and death is how God wakes us up many times. So we see in Romans 12:2, we see some of what I was just talking about God's will, which is His desire. As for God, His way is blameless. Look at there. His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. That's Psalm 18:30. I like these other translations. Here's the Amplified version. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested and tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge and put their trust in Him. You know, some of these other translations, I'm not saying they're all great, but some of the verses in them are really good, right? Here's the ESV. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. Perfect here means no defect. No defect. Without sin or guilt, it means spotless, without blemish, or complete. That's what the word means. Instantly reminds you of Jesus Christ. When you hear without blemish, without spot. But that's God. It says this is God. His way is perfect. His way is without sin, without spot, without blemish. It's complete. That's the way God's way. Now relate these words to someone who is ruling over the entire universe. That's comforting. I'd say that's good to know. If they're perfect, that's what we want, right? Now, that's an application we need to make day to day. We need to make that application every day of our lives because there's a lot to rule over. There's a lot to keep track of. There's a lot of nefarious things that we're seeing. And there's a lot of misapplications that we could quickly make because of all the things that we're seeing. But it doesn't change this verse right here. It doesn't change any truth of God's word. No part of God's word is ever turned from truth to false, ever. It holds eternal value for eternity. Therefore, we hold to that eternal truth in our day-to-day lives. That's the applicational part of you growing as a believer. To stand in what you believe and have been taught, but that should come out in the way you live. And I think that's a confidence here. The way you should live is in confidence, not in fear. If anyone is turning on the TV and living in fear, oh, here we go. You know what? I've had so many child abductions alerts on my phone in the last week. More than any I've had ever. So yeah, things are ramping up around here. You know what? We're going to start seeing more crime. We're going to start seeing more violence. We're going to start seeing more children taken because that's how it is in other countries. Well, that's coming here. That's coming here. So you can imagine if you're not sure about who God is and that His way is perfect, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start falling into the trap of blaming things that are not where the blame is. We need to stay focused on our spiritual life because we have more confidence than anybody can have in this world, especially today. God offers us that. His way is perfect. Just because you see imperfect ways does not mean that God's way is not perfect. I mean, just think about that. Can you imagine a perfect president? Just for fun. Can you imagine that? His ways would be blameless. What He decides to do would always be rightly motivated for your benefit, for the benefit of the people, all the time. No negative false motivation, nothing for financial gain at all. None of that would be a part of it. Everything would be based on truth, not false. That would be a perfect president. I know that's an impossibility, but it's interesting thought. You know, because we've seen some come closer or a lot farther to that concept than others. But you get the idea. We have to be in tune with our divine president, which is God. He's the ruler. He's the one that's in charge. And it's only through his policies that we have to think. Because the policies that we have today that are over you, if you start to get wrapped up in that, you'll have more stress than you can imagine. If you want to have a bad day, turn on the news right in the morning. That's how you do that. I mean, this is... I'm really blown away by some of these things that the, have you, any of y'all been watching any of these hearings they've been having in these courtrooms? Wow. Some of the stuff that's coming out is just mind-blowing. It's just really crazy. It's not surprising, but just to hear it, that yes, this is what we've kind of always known has been happening, right? All these things, but nothing's happening. But it is, at least some of it's coming out, so you at least can hear it. But there's no justice. The justice part's broke, right? We know that. But his justice is not broke. God's justice is not broke. So that's where we need to put our trust in, that whoever is getting, seems to be getting away with these things because our justice system is broke, God's justice system is not broke. It's not broke. People are going to get what they deserve. They're going to get what they deserve. And that's a good thing because we have made decisions. And I'm talking about personally. We need to get what we deserve. We need to get. And so do they. And everybody does. That's a good thing. That's the amazing thing about God. He has a wonderful way of keeping the playing field level. Doesn't he? He does. I don't know how he does it, but he does. So yes, we won't have a perfect president. So I wasn't trying to get your hopes up there, but. You see, I think you can understand the idea. To rule perfectly means to not make a bad decision based on something that's false. Ever. That's good. So, you know, these leaders that we see in charge today, as well thought out as some of these plans are, they can't think about all the details. Sovereignty, the sovereignty of God covers all the details. That's one of the things. You know, it's funny, you see him asking the tough questions. Sometimes you get the deer in the headlight look. Well, I didn't think of that one, right? I didn't think of that one. Well, God thought of all the tough questions. He thought of all the options. He thought of all what they didn't think about. And he's using all what they didn't think about in their lives right now. And that's important because there's things that we think we know and we think we're going to do and we think we're going to accomplish, but it never gets accomplished. Why? Because it's not about our plan. It never has been about our plan. And it never will be. It's about God's plan. Whether we're on board that plan or not, that's a different story. But we do have that option, don't we? We do. God gives us that option. He does. So, and if you remember, when we studied God's sovereignty, we said that it overlaps with other attributes, specifically like his omnipotence. That one kind of jumps out at me. If you're going to rule, guess what? If you add all powerful to that rule, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. Not only is there power to God's authority and rule, but we've got all these things going for us here. And because it's by his power and authority, that he can keep this plan on the rails. On the rails. So don't lose track of the omnipotence of God just because we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Those things are all together with us. So let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we will continue with God's rulership. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your rule, your ultimate authority over our lives, and we just pray that there are more people that come to the reality check that you are in control and that we need to give you our attention, give you our time, and ultimately accept your Son Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because without Jesus Christ, without that acceptance through belief, then there's nothing else on this earth that is of benefit to us. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you except through Him. And we're so grateful for the Word, for the reality that you've given us, and for the simple grace benefit of simply believing in Jesus Christ and being saved through that faith. We thank you so much, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.